From ESG Post in Singapore, I'm Zara Maung, and this is the ESG Podcast. Madhulika Sharma is Chief of Corporate Sustainability at Tata Steel India. I talked to her about Tata Steel's future plans, including tackling the challenges and opportunities posed by climate change. Thanks so much for joining me, Madhulika. Could we start by talking about what Tata Steel's biggest sustainability achievements are to date within Asia?
Sustainability itself is a very vast subject, especially for a sector like steel. And we are very fortunate that as a group, as a Tata group, we have embedded the ethos of sustainability much before the word sustainability came into the forefront because of the founder's value system that the business exists for the society and the purpose of business is to give back to society many times over. Now, with this ethos, I think if I just look a landscape of maybe last 2-3 years on what has been some very significant achievements in the area of sustainability, then I'll say that one, we have been the first in the country to adopt the integrated reporting in India. Last year, our rank within the steel sector in DJSI was first. Of course, this year we have slipped and we are looking at what are our, you know, feedback and where can we improve further. Having said that, if you look at our KPIs, not very many countries in India and possibly in Asia have taken up goal for ESG-related KPIs. However, if you look at our disclosures, we have not only taken these goals, but we have publicly made these commitments on being a benchmark in CSR and sustainability. So if I look at our community-related initiatives, there are far too many, but something that is unique apart from what other things that we do is we have initiated a platform for preserving the ethnicity of the place, and the platform is called Samvad. So it allows the tribal people not only within the India but also from outside the world to come together and to have a brainstorming session during this event and also all through the year to see that how the tribal culture across the world can be preserved and how can we take it to the next level. If you look at our operation side, so we are a steel manufacturer. We do have significant footprints in terms of carbon, in terms of water. However, we have made significant improvements in all our KPIs, not only at Jamshedpur, but at our other locations. We are, of course, trying to take it to the next level by taking it to also to our supply chain.
Regarding the challenges and opportunities in sustainability that lie ahead for Tata Steel's Asia operations, what would you say those were? And what are your future plans for dealing with these?
Of course, like any other steel company, which is using the blast furnace BOF route for making steel, our biggest challenge is the carbon footprint that we have. Even the best steel plant, best operating steel plant globally, will produce about 1.8 tons of CO2 per ton of the steel produced. And this is our biggest challenge because steel is a hard to abate sector, and the technologies for transitioning to a low carbon regime does not exist today in the world, which is commercially viable and which is scalable. So the BOF route is the most economical, can be scaled up and most widely used technology. That is why the scientists also appreciate the predicament in which the steel sector is there. However, having said that, there is an opportunity that the steel is the most recyclable material on earth. And it is one of the most basic material being used. And there's a lot of requirement for the steel for transitioning to a low embodied products, whether it is in the area of renewable energy or in other forms of, you know, a sustainable future. So that's the big side on the opportunity for the sector. For Tata Steel, I think the opportunity is that we have very strong foundations in being pioneers and in adopting some of the things ahead of our time. And we plan that we will be setting the tone, we will be setting the industry standards, and by actually coming up with technologies which are path-breaking, which are breakthrough technologies, which will help us in transitioning to a low-carbon regime in a long-term future. So we have started, we are working on these technologies, and while we cannot at this stage, you know, really meant very openly disclose on what are we working on, but I think our whole the whole ethos of being ahead of our time and being future ready and, you know, proactively working on things, accepting our challenges and then working on them as an opportunity is what will, I think, help us to, you know, transition to this new regime or new normal of being carbon neutral, or, you know, having as little footprint as possible. So our plans with this, both from the risk and opportunity side, is to, of course, you know, have on the disclosure side, yes, as a sustainability professional, while I know there's a lot of work which is happening on this, but we want to come out with a public disclosure on our response to climate action. And I think we will be in, probably that's a challenge for me as personally, as my team is trying to stitch everything together across the organization and come out with a action plan. The challenge for the organization and the opportunity side is, of course, to quickly look at technology, collaborate with the technology providers, technology suppliers, and do pilots on these technologies, to test these technologies. And if there is a success, then have a, you know, plan for upscaling it. Having said that, we also need to work on many other things which are ecosystem related, like, you know, how does the regulatory, steel is a globally traded commodity. So you need to have a level playing field across all geographies. So how do you, your investments in expensive technology, how does it get protected across the geographies is something that we need to work with the regulatory authority. So that's a work that we have to do. And also to get, how do we, you know, have the urgency of the subject, not only within the organization, but outside the organization with other partners, technology suppliers, academia, and to find, you know, collaborate on finding solutions to this huge problem, which is not only going to benefit us, but I think benefit not only the steel sector, but some other sectors. So that is the area of work that also we will be working upon, and which is in our priority list of things to do.
On the subject of stakeholder engagement, how have you built stakeholder engagement and investor engagement in Asia, and what are your plans for doing so in the future?
You know, we were the first one in India to actually formally do a materiality exercise using a third party way back in 2013. And we revisited our materiality last year again through a third-party consultation, and we covered across nine sets of stakeholders across various categories, and the consultation happened across some more than 100 stakeholders. So now we have a new set of material issues. Having said that, our for investors specifically, we do have an engagement platform where every, not only the investor relation teams, but our CEO and MD and the most senior people, they engage with them on quarterly basis on what are their issues, concerns. And more I'm seeing that their concerns are related to ESG. We are, in response to our climate change, we have endorsed, our leadership has endorsed TCFD recommendations, and currently, my team is working on doing this assessment in accordance with our with the TCFD recommendation to come out with the climate change related risks and opportunities, and then do public disclosures and also have the mitigation action plan. And of course, we do have our integrated report, which, as I said earlier, is the first one in India to be there. And where we not only give the financial disclosures, but also there is a one full section on the non-financial disclosures, and it articulates our long-term plans and what are we doing to mitigate some of the things which come as part of our operations. Having said that, the next focus area for us is that our supply chain. So any steel supply chain is a very, very large supply chain, starting from raw materials to the downstream and to the end customers. We are coming up with a responsible steel supply chain policy. And after that, while we have been working in a kind of informal way with our suppliers, with our distributors, with our processing agents, but the policy will give us a structure to the whole thing. And we plan to deeply engage with our critical set of supply chain partners, have a joint set of audits, and then come up with corrective action plans on how they can also work on the material issues, common material issues, which is material to us and also material to them, and take this subject of sustainability to a next level and also create this multiplier effect in the whole society and the whole value chain. On the investor side, we are going to work on the, apart from the regular engagements where our senior leadership is part of these discussions, we are committed to the TCFD recommendations, and we are currently working on the evaluating our risks and opportunities in accordance with the TCFD recommendation related to climate change. And hopefully by end of next financial year, we will, or in our next disclosure, the annual report, the integrated report, which will come out, we'll come out with these disclosures, very specific disclosures, and with the mitigation action plans also there.
You were doing some work around the preservation of culture. Is that part of your stakeholder engagement initiative?
So one of our biggest stakeholder is the community in which we operate. So as I said, any steel plant, one, it takes a large footprint. So when you are setting up a steel plant, then you have a rehabilitation issue. So the steel plants which we have in India, they are in the areas which has got a lot of ethnic population. And so we do have programs on ensuring that their livelihood and their life is not impacted because of the operations. And that has, I think, earned us the social license to operate. So Tata Steel's Jamshedpur plant is more than 112 years old now. And we have never had any social strife or anything to actually impact our production. This is because of all the proactive work of working with the community. Now, the platform which I talked about is a niche platform. And generally, if in India, a lot of companies are now doing CSR because it is now mandated by law to spend about 2% on the of your profit on the CSR or on the community initiatives. So almost all companies are, listed companies are now doing something. So apart from, you know, doing the usual stuff on livelihood, education, health, etc., this is a very niche subject, and this is a signature program where we are working with in preserving the ethnicity and the culture of the indigenous people. So this is not only in the community that we are operating, but also we have extended it to a national subject, and the platform has enabled people, tribal people, to come together not only within India, but also across the world. And we have a signature event every year. In fact, the event is going to start today evening and will be there for next four days, where all these people, they come together, they discuss on the subjects that are important to them. And Tata Steel plays a role of enabling these discussions, providing a platform and facilitating people who want to take initiatives by, you know, providing them with the wherewithals, not necessarily in form of money, but also in form of facilitating them to find how they can go about something. So this is again a very big program and a very unique.
You recently announced a blockchain initiative with the World Economic Forum and some other industry partners. Could you tell me a bit more about that and also what your plans are for increasing transparency within your Asia operations?
I'll be very, very candid in saying that I really don't understand the full scope of the work. But again, it is coming from, again, a pioneering spirit that Tata group of companies have, in being ahead of others and taking up initiatives ahead of others. So blockchain is another technology that we want to test it
and be future ready. So we have taken up this project for as CO2 is our biggest footprint. So we have an intent of offering to our customers the product with a full transparency on what does it, what is the footprint and how was it made and how was the footprint. So this is a very, very, it's a project that is still being scoped out and we have an intent of testing the technology using this scope, but it's, I think, too early to say further, but only that, yes, we are going to use this technology to understand, first of all, what can this technology enable? So once, if this is a success, then we can use this for many other things within our supply chain. As I said, our supply chain is very vast. It starts from raw material like coal and iron ore, which comes from various parts of the world. And then it goes to customers who again are category. There are so many categories of customers. So all this is actually, I think, going to help us in a long term in creating, solutions for a more circular economy.
And what will you be tracking through blockchain? Do you know that yet?
So it is largely the CO2, but we are looking at the environmental footprint of the products that will be out. So I think we don't have the details, so many details as of now. It is still being, it's still discussions under progress, and there are too many people, internal stakeholders first to actually scope the project correctly, and then we'll be taking it forward.
Thank you so much for joining me, Madhulika.
Thanks, Zara. I hope this was helpful.